This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Say I gotta be half crazy to be doing what I do. I'm a slap happy gear jamming, coffee drinking, truck driving fool. I might have a little shimmy in this cracker box Jimmy, but I ain't never cracked up yet. The more I try to make a buck in this beat up truck, the more semi crazy I get.
Oh yeah, and that semi just crashed through the wall of WHPC and dropped me right here behind the microphone where I could find my co-host Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino speaking on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, where we talk about semis and driving through truck walls too. So Chris, hey, what's happening, brother?
Yes, you are truly a real mother trucker, sir.
Oh, with the sweet sounds of one of my favorites, Mr. Junior Brown, today kicking us off, because I just felt like hearing some guitar twang, you know?
Nice.
It's the way
very
it works.
Good.
Yeah,
it goes with the cowboy boots and the dirt behind your ears. I like it.
And the cow I left outside. That's right.
Yeah. and the cow pies you brought into the studio.
Right,
yes.
Right.
How are you, my brother? This is a banner day. We're talking to ourselves today, aren't we?
Yes. There was a A-list guest that I was kind of turned on to, and I failed to connect by making the phone calls. I just got so busy with other stuff at the end of the week.
Oh, I thought they just heard the show and failed to show up.
Well, that's usually typically what happens, but no, this time it was me. So yeah, we'll talk to ourselves and we'll take care of some business.
Nice.
And I got a few things I'm sure you got, I don't know if you've done anything we can talk about this week besides move boxes and.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I did a little automotive repair this week.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nice. I actually have a story behind it, which is kind of funny. We always have an issue as of late, and I know we've talked about this in the past, where it's tough to get car parts nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Car parts are hard to come by, and I needed a starter for the LeBaron. It started
really?
To click again, and I thought that relay issue that I thought was the problem was not. It was the solenoid was clicking erratically and was not engaging properly, so I decided to swap it out. So I went over to a box store. Can't say a big box store, but I'd say a chain store. I'm not going to mention the name, but I would say it is quite advanced. And I went and picked up ordered a starter. Of course, they didn't have one in stock.
Yeah, of course.
So I got the starter, and it was the right starter. Looked like the right starter. And, of course, it went in no problem. 15 minutes. I had that puppy in there. But this is how it sounded when I went to go start the car. Let's see if we can do this.
Ooh, audio.
Check it. It's best here. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
You heard that little...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heard that, right? That's what the starter was doing.
That's weird.
So I said, it's got the solenoid was not backing away from the flywheel once the car had started. The solenoid, like it was, the gear was engaged just that split second before it backed away. So I took the starter out, I brought it back. And of course, the gentleman in all their confidence at that auto parts store says, oh, you have the core? I went, no, I have the starter I just bought. Why? What happened? And he says, well, this is what it did. And of course, I played them that video, and they were all praising my diagnoses. Oh my gosh, you were able to play. I says, yeah. I says, I think the starter is it's defective. So he says, no, it's not defective. You just need the other type of starter, the Nippon
Denso
starter. Yeah. So I said, oh, all right, order that one.
Sounds to me like it needs a shim.
So, well, here's the funny thing, because I mentioned that. I said, no shims fell out in the operation of this starter swap. I said, so there was no shims here. And he was like, no, you don't need shims. You don't need those. You just need this different starter. So I said, okay, fine. So next day, order a starter, comes in. They take it out of the box. Ray, I swear, it looked like they pulled it out of the bottom of a river. It was a core.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't even the starter that I needed. And B, it looked like someone had their meat hooks all over.
That's great.
Whatever part wasn't rusty. So that went back in the box. I said, just the guy. Now, of course, they get into that. Well, you want your money back? I'm like, no. I don't want my money back. I already got 2 days. I already got 48 hours invested in you guys. I said, just give me a starter that works.
Yeah.
So the third starter shows up, and it looked like the first one. And thankfully, it wasn't the exact one. It was a different version of the first one. And I was able to get it in. And you know how we always talk about this. You know when a part is going to work when it takes forever to put it in.
Yeah.
Ray, the same starter, same procedure, took over an hour.
Wow.
I had to move brackets around. I said, this starter is going to work. I know this is going to work. This is definitely. Put it in, boom, boom. Started right up. It was fine. Three starters. It took three to get this thing to actually operate correctly. So I was like, all week.
Unreal. Now I have a better understanding for why, when I was at the auto electric shop, guys would come in and buy starters and alternators from us. Because they knew if they had a car that they wanted to keep original or just avoid problems, they would say, rebuild mine.
Yes.
Because back in the, see, now with the Japanese cars and Japanese engines, it's not too common to need shims. It's actually kind of rare.
Yeah, very rare. And that's what I was told. And rightly so. You could see the way it was put together. There really was no place for a shim, let alone need one.
But back in the day with the American stuff, and especially with the GM and Ford, Chrysler's never needed them, but GM and Ford needed shims, GM more than Ford. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we learned, you know, the guy in business, we know, like, you know what, you need to start to rebuild the one that came out of your car. Use that nose. Even if you change everything else, use the nose, because then that relationship will stay the same.
Correct. Correct. No, you're right. And if this car was more original than I thought it was, yeah, sure, I probably would have done something like that, because we have machine shops in the area here, few and far between, but they're here. And I would have done something like that. But especially with the old girl in the garage, I don't want to be bothered with any sort of swap out starter on a car like that. I would much rather keep the original Bendix that's in there.
Wow. Chrysler, that's a gear drive. Chrysler's have that gear reduction. That's why they have that sound to them.
Oh, okay.
And they we never even had shims for a Chrysler starter, so it wasn't
really.
It was never an issue with a Chrysler. No.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you have the auto parts store phone number memorized, but how can people get us here if they don't need a starter, but they need some Street Adel? Who do they call so we can deliver?
Sure. If they need to talk to us, which I highly recommend today, because we're both in the mood for it, 516-572-7440. And we're at realmotormouth.com, realmotormouthradio. Real_motormouthradio at Instagram. You think I would know this by now?
Yeah.
And a host of other highly technological social gatherings. We're available. So you can find us.
Yeah, we're Motormouth Radio on the web and on Twitter and Facebook. And real_motormouth radio on Instagram, which is perfect. You led me into my story.
Oh.
Which I posted on last night, and I'd like to follow up on. And it's the problems ensued. Remember I told you last week a good friend of the show actually came to the shop and handed me three carburetors to be rebuilt, three Edelbrocks.
So okay, I'm looking at pictures of them right now.
They were all 1406 four-barrel Edelbrock ABS carburetors. Piece of cake. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, the biggest problem is going to be getting the kits. And he said, no problem, and pulled out an Amazon bag and said, I got him. And there were three identical kits from Amazon in the bag.
Very tasty.
And I looked at him and said, okay. I said, these are Chinese kits. I could tell by looking at them. And I said,
what do you know? Well, other than the Chinese handwriting with the barcode, how can you tell?
Basically, I guess because I've looked at this stuff enough, and the thing that impressed, and my story today is the problems associated with Chinese carburetor kits, which is also the problem associated with flashing lights.
The phone ringing.
Yeah. So let's try this. Let's go to the phones, go to the phone, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Long time no here.
What's up, Christian?
Christian.
How are you?
Hey, good. I got a couple pictures last night of a cop car. I got to send to you, Ray, to send to Chris.
Okay, send them out.
Yeah, if people were on my Instagram on the stories I sent, they would have seen it. Somebody was at the supermarket last night with a restored Coronet cop car, LAPD paint job.
Nice. What year,
really
Christian?
Cool. Huh?
What year was the car?
73, 74-ish.
Oh, okay.
The Coronet RT, I guess, or something.
Ooh, okay.
I'll send it to Ray, trust me. It was pretty cool. Yeah. The New York plate said, what out of Mary 12. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically they took two, so they melded two TV shows together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because Adam 12 is Adam 12.
I was like Jake and Elwood, you know, I'm doing that whole thing last night, and I was all excited.
And actually, Mary was from Chips. That's Mary 3.
Right.
And that's a motor officer, so they pretty much mishmashed the whole. I didn't see that on your feed. I didn't catch that, so I'll have to.
I'll send it to you now.
Yeah. Okay, please.
I saw you had a little thing about Chinese carburetor kits, so I was just going to chime in on that.
Okay, what do you got?
I think they have no business dabbling into sushi, so they have a Japanese market. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Send all your cards and letters to Christian. Don't send them to us. Send them to Christian.
Yeah, no. I saw something on yesterday with the gaskets, and I've been dealing with it with O-rings and stuff, and the kits don't come with O-rings that fit the float bowls properly. And there's a difference. Yeah. Stay away from it.
These kits were nice, and the thing that impresses you is two brass floats in the kit. Like, wow, nobody gives you know, nobody gives you new brass floats. But the problem is, as I showed on the posts, you put the gaskets in place for the you know, the squirters inventories, and they never fit right. They're like die cut. The shape is there, but it's just off a little bit.
You're off.
Everything is off. Yeah. Even if you look at the floats, I'm sure the floats were a little off.
Well, you know what I did? I actually weighed I left the original floats in, and I ended up leaving the original needle valves, the seats in. Because
see, that's what I do, too.
Yeah.
Just for that reason.
The new seats didn't thread into the carburetor body cleanly. They got tight real fast, and I said, no, I'm not stripping this out. I'll use the original seats and screw it. So.
When I have to extract, see, people take with the cars, like you're taking a carburetor right off the top of the motor.
Mm-hmm.
In my world, I have to like give birth to a rack of carburetors.
Correct.
It's like a process where the bike is in labor on my lift for like hours, and I'm like this and that and over here and dilating and spreading and weird. Sorry, but it's true. To get the carburetors out of the darn motorcycle, first of all, and then to have to order a carb kit, and then you get something from China. And you're the man behind the job who has to put faith in the kit you're getting, and then you find yourself reusing parts because you don't trust what's given to you, and it's the only thing you can get. You know what I mean?
It's got to be frustrating.
But it's not. And I'll tell you, the guy who gave me these carbs, you know him very well. He's a friend of ours.
He is?
Yeah. A long time, old time friend of our hot rod friend of ours. You know who he is.
Oh, sounds like from Belmore to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So, you know, and I understand the whole thing about saving money. I got no problem with that. But, you know, if you were to go to a major carburetor kit manufacturer, you're going to spend like $40 or $50 on one of these kits.
You have to do it. That's the difference.
And these were under 20. And I'll tell you what, the parts that he was sewing at, like those floats, they didn't get used. Because I weighed them. They did weigh the same. I mean, one of them
they don't. No, everything's off. Everything's light.
But you know what I did just as a test, putting them back together? I took the float pin, and there was no parity in the kits. They gave you new accelerator pump springs.
Yeah.
But
no diaphragms?
No. But what they did is
what you need.
And they gave you floats, but like two of the kits had the float pins and the other one didn't. So I took an original float and put in the original pin fit. I tried the replacement pin in the replacement float and it didn't really fit. And I tried the original pin in the replacement. I went the other way and that didn't fit. So I said, okay, the tolerances are definitely not.
It's not. Yeah.
They're not there.
I guess that's how they get away with it. They change it up a little bit. It's true, though.
Yes.
I had that Ducati Monster that was from 97 that was a 900S that has a set of BTS Makunis on it. They're 38mm Makuni, and they're laid horizontally into the bike between the two cylinders. So it's got a lot of stuff going on with the floats, and there's a whole plastic carriage that goes into the car body. It's got the needle in the seat is in the plastic, and it's a part of it. Excuse me. So with that said, I was like, I got to get a carburetor kit for this thing. I called Sudco, which is a company
yeah, I know Sudco.
California.
Sure.
And Sudco is a great company because they deal direct with Makuni.
Right.
So does Orin Express, and we're a Makuni dealer and stuff like that. I called Sudco and I said, hey, man, I got a set of these carburetors on a 900S that, you know, it just came in. And he's like, oh, that's great. This is the kid Eric that works there. He's like, we just got kits direct from Makuni.
Wow.
And I'm like, really? I'm like, whatever, do it. Two of them, please. You know, because it's two carburetors.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, these are pretty cool. It comes with the O-rings for the two carbs to split the rack. So you get the O-rings that go in between for the fuel tubes and all that stuff, which some carb kits won't come with. I get these carburetor kits from Sudco that are direct Japanese, I guess, NLK replacement kits. It came, not only did it come with the plastic carriage and the needle and seat, it came with a new plastic float. It came with a new slide with the diaphragm.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. Necessary O-rings, all blah, blah, blah. Everything but the jets, the brass jets, which, you know, you can get from Sudco through the, you know, finer print and get through, you know, each individual part number because jetting is a consumable thing with numbered.
Right.
So, you know, you could get a choice of what you want to do. So that's why they don't include the jets. But $63 retail. Mm-hmm. One kit includes all of that to rebuild one carb top to bottom. You could trust it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's a direct replacement of $63 each. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know? And I was shocked that they actually came out with the kit for that because I thought I was going to struggle, and I didn't. And then I had the VMAX Yamaha come in, which is a set of four carburetors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I call Sudco, and they're like, yeah, we don't have one for that. And I'm like, oh. So I had to buy the Chinese kit.
Yeah.
And deal with it with a rack of four carburetors that takes hours to get out of the bike back in.
Yeah.
And then pray everything's going to work.
Christian, what is your cleaning solution of choice for carburetor rebuild?
I'm Accuous now. I'm full-blown ultrasonic now.
Oh, nice, nice.
No, I don't use any dips anymore.
Okay. Well, you know, I do
that's just for health reasons, really.
Yeah.
That stuff is, it's, you know.
You know what I got turned on to?
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Well, listen, and you can come up with your meter and test me, so it's okay. the thing I got turned
on. He doesn't need a refrigerator light at night anymore.
No.
Just open up the refrigerator. He just glows.
Or a bathroom.
He's like those fish that are deep in the sea. They just kind of had their own illumination. Yeah.
The thing I got turned on to was if you take small parts and put them in a sealed container with a fluid and then put them in just water in an ultrasonic cleaner, that works just as well.
I'm ultrasonic.
Yeah.
I'm ultrasonic. There are some companies out there that do restoration now. Like there's a guy that does strictly like the CBX Honda carburetors and stuff. There's some guy out somewhere. I forget where he is. But he does a little bit of everything. Even down to where he'll take a carburetor body and vapor hone it and all that stuff, which is kind of sketchy because, you know, it could get into all those passages.
Right.
But some carburetor bodies will rot out from within, and no matter what you do, you got to throw them away.
I'll tell you, these three carburetors I had in front of me, all about the same vintage, and they were in three different conditions.
Were those AFBs that you had or something?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. So what I want to find is an ultrasonic cleaner, but big enough to put a four-barrel in, and they get real expensive.
No, they don't. Not anymore.
Yeah?
Okay. Trust me. Don't. No, seriously. eBay, buy the one for $240. You look for an 1100 watt. It's basically a 600 watt heater with a 500 watt ultrasonic.
Okay.
And what's ideal is you want your water temp to be up. And then what you do is you put your water in. You can put regular tap water, but you put the ultrasonic on for about 20 minutes, and that phenolic.
Right.
Okay. So when you do that, you very little detergent, because with an ultrasonic, the more detergent, it changes the, the specific gravity of the water. And the agitation of the ultrasound won't work as good.
Yeah.
So some people might go full fluid, you know, full detergent. That'll not work.
Right.
It's all about the water. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe some people have different water in different places, too. I haven't tried a well water and other things. But if you think about it, it's ultrasound.
So how much detergent do you add? A teaspoon or?
So, literally like an ounce to the whole entire, I don't know how many liters. Mine's probably 20 liters or something.
And using like dish detergent?
No, I use Simple Green.
Okay.
Or something with a rust inhibitor, like a vibratory soap.
That's
if
good.
If it's steel parts. I put crankshafts in there. I'll put a whole crankshaft in mine. And when you turn it on, you'll watch all the sludge come out of the oil holes.
Yeah, I know.
It'll break up
that.
The sludge inside the crank.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, in a motorcycle crank, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like I'm doing small block Chevy cranks.
No, I know.
You get into an ultrasonic that big, then you're talking thousands of dollars. But
right.
eBay, you get that one that comes from China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a throwaway thing. You use the heck out of it, you throw it away when it's burned out, and you get another one. They average around $250.
Okay.
And you could do a four barrel in there with all the parts, float balls, everything, a whole deal. You do a whole carburetor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, when
get
you think
in
of
there,
it, send me a picture of your cleaner so I could get an eyeball on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you'd seen it. Yeah, no, I have a few of them.
Okay.
I've been ultrasonic for many years now.
Okay.
We used to take carburetors and still leave the floating needle and everything still in the carburetor, and you just put it right in.
Wow.
And because if you're at 50 Celsius on the temperature, when you pull the carburetor out and you start blowing air, it flash dries. So
right.
The carburetors come out clean and dry.
You see, that's what I do. Once I take I'm still using the HydroSeal carburetor dip. When I take it out of that, I hose the carbs off with hot water. And then when you hit it with the air, they immediately dry.
And you drop fuel rods in there, and you can make power. That stuff is crazy.
Right, exactly.
I know. There is a reaction with that stuff. I'm not joking, man. I've been
exposed.
Around that crap for years.
I know.
You know. And I used to get the Hydro Seal back in the day that used to have the layer of water on top. Remember they used to put the water and it would emulsify?
Uh-huh.
That was to keep it from evaporating?
That was the stuff. Was the stuff that whenever I use a brush on a carburetor and a drop of it would always end up and hit my cheek and it would just burn.
And it burns for the rest of the day.
Immediately burn.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the days.
Hell yeah.
Nice beauty mark, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, you won't. No, it'll take them right off, man.
That's why I look like this.
And there's been times where I've had friends like, yeah, I put it in my Hydro Seal. I was like, don't do it overnight.
No.
And then
no.
They're like, my where's my holly? And like, your holly's gone, sir.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It melted.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then when you got the basket and that one little jet that misses the basket and it goes into the bottom of the barrel.
Go fishing, yeah.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
We got away from the agitators because we used to have those snap-on agitators.
That's what I have, yeah.
Yeah, and then you put that. I mean, trust me. I mean, you got good HydroSeal. You got an agitator. You got a cruddy carburetor. It will come out nice, but, you know, it's just the health aspect of it.
It's just hard to deal with it because when you take it out, you need, like, secondary containment because you don't want it on your floor. And
You're washing parts out in the sink anyway. You use an Aqueous to wash the HydroSeal off.
Right. That's
it immediately emulsifies.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing? You're putting HydroSeal. Well, I don't know what you're doing, but, it's going right into the groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be talking like this right now on the radio, but.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen worse at AutoZone parking lots recently. So.
Recently,
no, don't worry, Christian. No one's listening.
No,
they all turned off a long time ago. Don't worry.
The FBI's on us right now.
Right.
They know where I'm in. Oh crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, as long as they send one man to Mary 12 over here, it'd be all cool. I'll take that to the courthouse.
Sure.
Or the detention center, or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Right. Whatever. Whenever they
come after me for dumping that microscopic HydroSeal pollution into the atmosphere and the ground and everything. But meanwhile, you know, that stuff's been going on for years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they got to clean it up. You know, I get it.
Right.
You know, so that's why I switched. I've been more.
I want to make that switch. I do. I really do. I just have
you
to
really
get the cleaner. Yeah.
It's better for you. I mean, not only better for the environment, it's better for you, Ray.
Yeah.
You might lose that glow.
Well, hey, listen, like my chiropractor says, I'm on the football field of life. I got more yards behind me than I have in front of me. I'm in the fourth quarter. You know, I'm getting old enough where, like, it doesn't matter what I do anymore. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, what's it going to do? Kill me?
Right. Yeah. And the AstroTurf is a little gray, and there's some ruts in it, too.
So. Right.
My old man working his cell, shooting all that Imron and Deltron, you know, and he finally read the back of the can one day. 30 years later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's his excuse for everything now that I got to deal with.
Right. Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, sucking down like gallons of trichloral ethane that contacts at the phone company.
MEK, baby. Methyl ethyl.
Yeah. MEK is worse. Yeah.
We had a vat of it in the machine shop. We used to just wash parts and our hands in it. Your hands were kind of white because it would just take all the moisture
out of your skin.
Exactly.
And it was just sitting there in the hallway.
And then you just work with more oil, and it puts the oil right back in.
So. Oh, yeah.
That's it. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Get on the lathe or the mill, and then you get you oil up your parts, and it gets on your hands. It was good because it was in your hair. You just run your hands through your hair. You're an instant greaser. It was great.
Just like the picture of you and your brother rebuilding the four-speed in the kitchen. I get it.
Right. On the kitchen table. With a cigar. That's right. That was mom's house.
People might think we're crazy, but these things did actually happen.
Hell yeah, every day.
How many bikes we built in the kitchen?
Yeah.
God, man.
Oh, yes.
Jeez. Exactly. We had a ramp going in the back door. You ride right out.
Yep, that's right. Hey, I brought my bike
in pieces.
I brought my bike in my den to detail it for the Coliseum car show one year, my wife was at work. Of course, I hope she's not listening. Well, she knows the story. And when I was going to take it out the back door, because I had a big sliding door, I said, I gotta start this thing up. I gotta hear what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You gotta hear it now. A little burnout on the tile floor. Quick little clutch dump. Yeah.
When I was in Smithtown High School West back when, before I graduated, they had a career day, and one of the machine shop teachers that I had, he had his Harley in the gym. The whole entire day during career day, we kept on telling him, come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Just start it up, man. Just start it up. Day long. And then finally, I was in engineering. I was in my class drawing at my drawing table, so the shop class was down the corridor from my mechanical engineering class, and I hear it fire up, and I'm like, yes. Then I hear it getting louder. Not only did he fire it up in the gym, but my teacher rode the bike right through the hallway back to the shop.
Nice. That reminds me of the old standby hanging out in certain places I won't mention, where you know you ride the bike into the bar, you're doing burnouts in the bar. That was common.
But then they got fed on the internet, and they got cameras on there at the burnout pits and all that stuff.
Oh, sure.
These people, you know, I mean, you guys were hanging out in a bar when bikers weren't even allowed in the bar.
That's right. Right.
You know, I don't think people realize that.
Yeah, that's true. Or that it was your bar. Yeah, it was like the biker bar. You know, there were plenty of those.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody else went in.
Had 14, so.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody else went in. It was like, no, off limits to civilians. Forget about it.
Don't ask me how I know.
No, we know how you know.
Yeah.
I think there was a room you were born in one. I don't know, maybe.
I know
you were in one when you were an infant. That's for damn sure, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? Wow.
Exactly.
Anyway, kudos for Junior Brown.
Oh,
thank
cool.
You.
Yeah.
That was a good start.
We're going to play him on our break coming up right now. So
because that one Anna Mary 12 cop car, I think you should play Highway Patrol.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's a good song. In the beginning, it's so-so, but in the middle there, when he really goes off and they get steel people, let me tell you, Junior Brown got it down, man.
I know.
Surf Medley.
Actually, it's not on this. Surf Medley is track 10 on this. It's like a 7-minute song.
I'm a big Junior Brown fan.
Me too. Me too. All right. So you'll like our coming out into the second break. So let us run, Christian, so we can do that. And we'll
good talking with you guys. Yeah. Good one, man.
Talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, my brother.
Thanks, Christian.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, I'm going to send that car. You're going to love it.
Do that.
Let's see it. Yeah. Definitely.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
So long. All right. That's our buddy Christian checking in. So as we can check in with our other buddy Christian, do we have an honor group of the bottom of the hour?
Of course we do. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. It's that time of year where individuals that have a slow leak in one of their aluminum wheels on their tires. With the cold weather upon us, it's bound to happen. One of your tires on your slick, fancy aluminum wheel will start to ever so slightly leak air from the bead, which will trip the tire pressure warning light on the dash. Now, it's not one of those leaks that dumps all the air overnight. Oh, no, that one you're going to fix right away because you're a responsible guy. Oh, no. This is one of those leaks you just live with because the light only trips once every 2 or 3 weeks. So if you have a slow leak in one or two or all of your tires that trips the light every 2 or 3 weeks, you're part of the Motormouth Radio on the Group of the Hour. There you go.
I will tell you, I fall into that one this week because I had just recently brought two tires, one off the FJ and one off my daughter's RAV4, down to Tire Town because I had one tire in each vehicle had a slow, slow leak.
Yep. It's that time of year. And I got one, too.
Well, this was going on all through the summer and everything. I was just, I just had to orchestrate it because, you know, they say check your tire pressure, you know, a couple times a year. Listen, I do it every week. I do it
you
every
do.
Week.
You're nuts.
And especially when
you're
I know.
You're nuts and you're glowing. You're and nuts and you glow.
Especially when I know that I have a small leak. I want to keep that pressure up. So I brought them both down, and they were both on the TPMS. There's an O-ring where it seats on the inside of the rim.
Right.
And Mike down there was nice. He just broke the bead on the tire, took it apart, and I said to him, hey, you know, do you have a, there's a rebuild kit for this. Are you going to put a rebuild kit? No, 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 I know what to do. If the O-ring is in good shape, I can fix it. And he says, a Guyana guy taught me how to do this. The guy's a great tire mechanic. And he was really just putting a coating of oil on it and resealing it. And I said,
wow.
Okay, I could follow the theory. I'll play. And then
makes
I said
sense.
To him, now, but I like to check. I said, I know when you tighten these things up in the rim, the spec is either 40 or some are 75 inch pounds. And he says, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they had a little 6-inch long torque wrench, which is made for inch pounds. But of course, he grabbed it not by the handle to pull, you know, at the end where you're supposed to, the fulcrum handle. He just kind of grabbed it over the head and was tightening down on the socket. And I said, hey, Mike, what are you doing? No, no. I said, what setting are you use on that? I know how tight to go. I got it all. He's Chris Switzer calibrated. He goes,
thank you.
I know how tight to go. I get it. I'm like, oh God, here we go. So bottom line is the one on my car is so far fine. I checked the tire during the week. It was great. I don't know about my daughters. I know we're 1 for 2. I'm hoping we're 2 for 2. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, she shows up at the house with the tire flopping on the rim.
Yeah. Well, she knows enough to know, like, even when it looks low, she can spot it, so that's good.
Good, because that wasn't always the case.
No. No, no, no. Well, she could spot it. She just didn't do anything about it. But something you can do about is on Saturdays at 7 a.m., if you're up like I am and going to work, you should tune into this fine station and listen to Super 70s. It's Ron Stevens, of course, our good friend, and he takes a trip back in time to music and fads of the Super 70s. The only bone I have to pick with him is he plays the dance versions of a lot of the songs, and not being a disco dancer, I don't care about those versions. So anyhow, he plays good stuff. You should listen. And now you should continue to listen.
You dance in the disco way. Disco here, this foot go there, disco
go.
Here.
Right. All right. But now we can do a little bit of dancing with Junior Brown for Christian out at Long Island Racing. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You listen to some of our friends check in for a while on Motormouth Radio. And we'll be back with more of this fine show with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
You heard about the singing brakeman. You might have seen a singing cowboy, too. Well, I'm Joe, the singing janitor. I'm at a theater near you. I'll also be appearing at the concert you'll be hearing, but I won't be singing with a band. I'm Joe, the singing janitor. Cleaning up for the folks, getting by the best I can.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at CelebrityChaseCollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Vote them out.
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Vote them out.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Vote him out.
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Radio 90.3 FM WHBC.
Vote him out.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1. You are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
You might learn how to play a mean slide guitar like our good buddy Junior Brown. Or is that Christian out there in the back? I don't know. But that's Joe, the singing janitor. That's a great song. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
What a great artist. So... which takes us to, I don't know where we were, but it'll take us somewhere.
I built, the last carburetor I built was that Holley that's on the,
right, the 600.
The 300.
Yes.
Yeah. And, the Newport 300. And, it was fine. I was all ready to jump in and lament with you guys about, carburetor issues, but I didn't have a problem with it. And I don't really remember, you know, it's kind of funny. The carburetor is designed, I think, is designed badly.
Really, the Holley?
Yeah, I didn't like the way it went together compared to like a Rochester or something like that, even a Carter.
Really,
I found that the Holley was, and it was the first Holley I ever built. So, but I knew you had the utmost confidence in it.
Well,
and
yeah.
I figured, all right. And speaking of the utmost confidence, let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones and talk with our good buddy from the local area. What's happening? You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hi, gentlemen.
Yeah, Bob.
Chris,
what's happening?
Just wanted to say, I wanted to thank you for another great year during Thanksgiving weekend and what you guys do for the listeners.
Wow.
And
what do we do for the listeners?
Actually, no, I'll tell you what. Some guys throw four speeds. Some guys use New Balance. Part of my compensatory skills is listening to you guys and Rob Leonard and, you know, the station in general. You guys are great. It's a great hour to listen to you guys on Sunday, and it doesn't go unnoticed. And I want to thank you.
Well, thank you, Rob. We appreciate that very much, and we'll keep doing it as long as we can breathe.
Yeah,
and they give us the place to do it.
Right, before they escort us out.
And after that, we'll be doing it from a transmitter out of Mexico somewhere. You don't worry about that. We'll let you know.
That or county jail.
Yeah, wherever. Hey, wherever we can get a microphone, we'll be. You know, I can do the show handcuffed. It's no big deal.
You've done it before.
Right, I have. Right. Got that right.
Well, I wish you guys and our friends over at the college radio station a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving week with your family.
Thank you, Robin. Same to you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
All right. So long.
Thank you so much, my brother. Be safe.
That's our good buddy, Rob from Rockville Center. Yes. So... like you were saying, we appreciate the sentiment. It doesn't go unnoticed. The Hollies have been tried and true for so long. The only problem with a Holley is, like, if you want to do a jet change, typically, and you don't have it modified, you have to pull the bowl off, which means you lose all that gas.
Yeah.
But there is
a
way to
do that a number of times.
See, but there's a trick to that, too. If you loosen one of the bottom screws on the bowl and put a small container under it, you can usually drain the majority of that fuel out through one of the screw holes and then not have a big mess.
I've also found that my car is cold-blooded.
Yeah, some
are. My Fiat is. Do you ever have cars that are like cold-blooded or warm-blooded?
Yes, the Fiat is very cold-blooded, yeah.
Yeah, the Chrysler's cold-blooded. I mean, cold-blooded meaning that it runs better in the cold. That's the way I would look at it.
Well, runs better. Yeah, I look at it like mine doesn't want to start and run in the cold. It likes
the
warm weather.
No, the Chrysler likes the cold weather for some reason. The warm weather, it starts spitting and getting all ornery and idling high, idling low. In the cold weather, you get the key front, fires right up. I'm like, wow, look at the big brain on me. This thing's running nice.
I'll tell you something I learned a while ago there. You know, if you have an electric choke, all electric chokes are not made the same. There were the early ones that was just a bimetallic coil that would heat up at a, you know, predetermined rate. And then Holly had what was called like a staged coil, where that coil would move at different rates depending on how hot it was due to voltage. So it would give you a more timed response with your, you know, for the choke coming on and off, and it was a lot better. And that's a lot of guys that have the first type of choke need the second type to be happy and vice versa.
Well, I have a manual choke. It's the stove, the spring with the two dissimilar metals on it.
Wait, the spring that sits on the well in the manifold.
Yes.
That's called a divorced choke because it's
divorced,
separate from the carburetor. It's divorced, right?
Yes, that's the one I have.
Okay.
It's the box that you were able to adjust if you turn that cap.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like an antifreeze cap.
Okay, on the carburetor.
On the carburetor.
That's not a divorced choke. No, that is a stovetile choke. Now, does it have two wires going to it?
No.
So it's not electric. It has a pipe that comes off and goes down into that's a stove choke, right? Because it takes the heat of the intake through that pipe, and that heat is what works on the spring. They're always they worked. They weren't always the best, and over years they were problematic.
Yeah, that's not the best. I remember most of the cars I've ever owned, I think those were disconnected.
Well, you can convert that to an electric style real easy because you already have the cap. You take that off. Your new cap has a coil in it with two spade connectors on the outside. One of them is ground. One of them gets a, you know, key on voltage source.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then you adjust it. So, yeah. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll put that on a list of things to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Things to do when I break a limb. Yes.
All right. So I found a cute story. Wile E. Coyote won't be happy about this one. You know that.
Oh.
Yeah, he's definitely up in arms. A Roadrunner.
You mean the huge consumer of Acme products?
That's right. He is. A Roadrunner hitched a ride in a moving van in Las Vegas and ended up unscathed in Maine 4 days later. So you say, well, how did a big Chrysler get into a moving van? No,
I was going to say, they have a 383 or 440.
It was the bird, the Roadrunner bird, was taken to a special rehab center in Maine, and they plan to return him back to Vegas if possible. So,
because they don't do well in cold weather.
No, you hear about cats and dogs, like, you know, ended up across the country, and they walk home. Well, this Roadrunner decided he wanted to ride. So.
That's funny. That is funny. 516-572-7440, the phone line. Actually, we have more lines now, right? Well, I could actually say the phone lines are open. We have more than one line.
Yeah, they do, and they cascade down. You know, we can't take more than one call at a time, obviously. If we're talking to you and another call comes in, you got to go if we want to take the second one. So we can't.
Not like the old days.
We can't join the calls, no.
Not in the old days when we had just the coffee can and the string, and that was it.
Oh, boy, remember those days? That was something, man.
Oh, yes, all too well. water-driven control board and microphones with two little wires that we touched together. Oh, yeah, it was a simpler time.
Right.
We're still simple, only the technology is different.
Yeah, yeah.
Simpler time, simpler hosts, but it was all the same. 516-572-7440. Yeah, it was... It's been one of those weeks where I had to drive my truck. Literally, I had to start it up, drive it about 100 feet and shut it off. Start it up, drive it 100 feet, shut it off.
Still moving stuff across the street, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you would think that you're not doing too much damage, but you are. The amount of abuse that you're putting on a vehicle doing that,
yeah.
It got to the point where I had to actually rent a truck
really?
To do that.
Wow.
Rent a U-Haul to go back and forth.
Okay.
That amount of time. But you know what happened? I actually got a check engine light popped
Did
up
you?
on the Explorer, and it was a misfire on the number one cylinder.
Wow.
And I had I shut the light off. I did an Italian tune-up on it. I took it out on the road, got on it, blew out some stuff, brought it back.
Okay, good.
And yeah, brought it back, and everything is fine. I haven't gotten another check engine light, but I'm trying to figure out what caused it to misfire.
So you had like a
was it?
You probably had a PO301 or 2 or 304.
It was a 301, PO301, yeah.
Cylinder 1 misfire, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. So
Pull the plugs. Maybe you got, you know, it could be if you get a little bit of a weak coil, you could have a little bit of a, if the spark was just a little erratic, maybe you got a dirty plug. That could actually cause a 301 code.
Yeah. Well, it just got on it.
Well, there you go. That'll clean it. That'll take care of it for sure.
Took it uphill, and I had my foot to the carpet.
You gave it a stress test.
Yeah, I gave it an Italian tune-up.
Right,
that was
right.
All. It just Very blew good. All the stuff out of it. Because, you know, it may be the wrong thing to do, but it is what I do. If you get a check engine light, I always shut it off.
Okay.
Because sometimes it could be an AOG, an act of God. Sometimes it could just be, tripped it, and that was the end of it.
Right.
But in this case, it was. It actually was. I mean, if the light comes back on, then you're like, okay, I better address this. But I always give it that, yeah, you were just being goofy.
A lot Check of stuff, off. Too, the way the programs are written, a lot of that stuff, if it'll trip a light, after a certain amount of key cycles, it will, you know, the light will go out. And that mm-hmm. happens with a lot of the EVAP stuff, or even after you sometimes clear a code and the light is still on. You have to go through a certain amount of key cycles and then that light is off. The TPMS does that too. You'll get a code for, a related ABS code when the tire is low. And mm-hmm. you'll clear the code, you fix the problem. I went through this with the FJ, and it took a number of key cycles. I think it was about, in my case, 4 or 5, and then boom, it was out. I did the relearn, and then once the computer was happy that through subsequent cycles everything checked out, it said, okay, I will shut the light off now. And it did.
Yeah, the Mazda did something similar. You just had to drive it like a certain amount of, like 10 miles, and then it was off.
That's like a drive cycle, yeah. Like a drive cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay. Right. But it wasn't like you had to start it or shut it off or anything like that in a certain amount of time.
There's
that
variation. Yeah, there's variation. Yeah. But the Italian tune-up is one that you know, we've talked about that forever. And,
oh, yes.
You know, it still works.
Oh, yes, it still does. I don't care. Old car, new car, it still works. I always talk about a very good friend of mine that used to do very well tuning up Jaguars and Mercedes. Uh-huh. Back in a Bucalina.
Yeah.
And that's what he would do. He would get the cars from these older couples, older people that would just putter around Brooklyn with them.
Sure.
And the car would be running funny. He said, I'm going to take care of your car. And
now,
he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what he would do. We were at the foot of the Verrazano Bridge. He would go fire it over the bridge, pay the toll, turn around, fire it back over the bridge, pull in, the car would be running smooth.
Now, especially in the days of carburation where things would carbon up and, you know, slowly over time get like that. Yeah, that was like the best fix. And you put a little olive oil in the crankcase, it helps like break it right up. You know, forget Marvel Mystery. You just use a, holy, the oil. Aliulia.
Did you ever put Aliulia in it? You never did.
That's why I put in the Fiat. Yeah, the Fiat runs on it. You have to. It's a spec. It's factory spec. You gotta. You can't ignore it. The bearings will seize if you don't.
That's funny. And it smells like a pasta and gugatera.
Yes.
In the garage.
Nice. You put a little garlic on the intake manifold. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That's all. No, get something else to do with the gagoots. Very good.
You get guys with red and white aprons following you, chasing you down the street. Like, hey, what's going on there?
My dad pulled a prank on me one time. He says, keep the car running. He says, put Marvel Mystery Oil in the carburetor while the car's running. Rev it up.
Yeah.
And I did. And I had plumages of white smoke going down the block.
Sure. I did
people
that.
People were calling 911.
No, I talked about that. I did that on my daughter's RAV4 because she's got the four-cylinder, which they're known sometimes if the cars. Now, she got that thing off of a lease, and I guess the oil probably wasn't changed. And on those vehicles that have that happen to them, it's a known problem where the piston rings will stick. And her car does use some oil. It'll use a quart in like 1,500, 2,000 miles. It'll use a quart of oil. Okay. And it's not burning it. So I watched a few videos. There's a guy I follow on YouTube who's a Toyota tech, and he did a full engine teardown to show the problem on one of these engines. And he said, yeah, if it's too bad, there's nothing you can do but put a, you know, chain, either replace the piston in the rings or whatever. But he says, you know, you could try at home some remedies. And I did. Last time, it was about a month ago, I put some Marvel Mystery Oil in that. I added half a quart of oil. So I put some oil in, and then I put in some Marvel Mystery. And I said, let's see what happens. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't checked it yet. I have to go back and look at it again. And when I check the tire, I'll check the oil. And
I'd be interested to see what happens.
That's, yeah. It's a crapshoot. It may work. It may not. It's all a matter of, you know, you don't know. But we'll try.
No, it's the truth. Because I don't. Marvel Mystery Oil is good. Was good when I had the TR6, and the TR6, the Zenith Strongberg carburetors needed a certain amount of oil in them, contained in
the piston. Yeah,
in the
that
piston,
was to lubricate
yeah.
that. And that, on that piston is the main metering rod that goes into the main jet. So if that thing isn't rising and falling correctly, yeah, there's big runnability problems.
Oh yeah, and there were. But especially on mine, because they tend to leak, and you'd get little drips of Marvel Mystery Oil. But that's what I used it for, and it was perfect for it. It was perfect for filling those chambers with oil.
Well, they used to call for the guys used to use automatic transmission fluid. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the right thing to use or not, but I know people use it because everybody had it on the shelf.
Of course,
you know.
Well, that was just like with power steering. I never knew. There were some guys that used automatic transmission fluid in the power steering pump, and there were some guys that used power steering fluid.
Right.
And did you ever mix them? Did you ever have the joy of mixing transmission fluid and power steering fluid in the same system?
I guess I did, because back in the day, years ago, I used to use automatic transmission fluid, but now I use power steering fluid. It'll actually swell the hoses and swell the seals, the ATF will.
The ATF will or the
– No, the ATF will.
The ATF will do.
Yeah.
Because I actually put – I changed the power steering pump in the Chrysler, and I put power steering fluid in it. I didn't know what was in there originally.
Okay.
It was fine. The system was fine, but I had to pull the pump because it was leaking. And then I put power steering fluid in there. All of a sudden, the liquid started to expand like at a rapid rate while the car was running. And the pump got super hot. I mean, glowing hot.
Okay, I'm going to say that's not because of the fluid. I think it's because you didn't bleed. You didn't bleed and purge the system right, and you had air, you had pressure in there.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Because I did that when I put my Pontiac together. I had the original power steering pump it was in that car when it was new, 55 years old. And I said, you know what, let me go. And Dorman came out with some new pumps. I said, let me buy a brand new pump. And I did. And the procedure is you get the wheels off the ground. And first you turn the wheel full lock, right and left, you know, dry. And then you start the car. You do the same thing, full lock, right and left. And you hear it go, it'll purr. And then you check the fluid because it'll suck it through. And by turning it, you enable the vane to go both ways and purge air. So I found
I did that when I changed the steering rack, so I understand. Yeah.
After the fact, I had to put the cap on, and the cap has a little vent hole on top. And I noticed when I turned the wheel with the hood open, the power steering fluid was shooting out of that hole over the fender into the garage. Like, what the heck? There was too much. And it was foamy, and it was expanding. And I took that pump off. I went back to the store and said, give me my $50 back. Because I saved the old pump. And now on my car is the original, unrebuilt 1965 power steering pump running power steering fluid, and it's fine. So
really?
It was the rebuilt pump that was the problem, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, this pump was the original pump. I just had to change I did exactly what we talked about earlier in this show. I didn't want to get a rebuilt pump. I wanted to just change the seals on mine because mine was just leaking. That was it.
Yeah.
So I ordered a rebuilding kit just to acquire the seals and the rubber grommets that were leaking. That was all I did. And it was doing exactly what we spoke about earlier in the show, what Christian had said or what you had said. Rebuild the existing component.
So that's what
I did. But then I went and put, now you're standing back. This car, you don't know the history of this car. And I'm like,
All right,
let me just start putting power steering fluid in here. Let's see. And it was just awful. I had to dump it all out and do it like another exchange all over again. I guess I evacuated the air in the process, according to your theory, and because it was fine after that.
And
I dumped all the fluid out.
Yeah, I don't know the exact chemistry, but I know this. I know that ATF does have a detergent in it. It's a cleaning type of a fluid. That's why people put it in the engine. It'll help clean a gunky engine. Power steering fluid doesn't. It's more of just like a lubricant, just like a fluid. So that's probably why. But I don't see what would the harm be of cleaning your power steering pump with AT. I don't know. It works. We've done it for years. Guys still do it, and it does work. Now I'm at the point where, you know what? I keep a quart of power steering fluid at the top. You know, it's no big deal.
Oh, yeah. And I'm wondering, is there different power steering fluids?
Not that I've ever seen. I don't know, but I have not seen that.
Because some of them are like honey colored, and some of them are like transmission fluid colored,
like reddish.
At least that's what's on my shelf.
Yeah, this stuff I've seen it both ways. Yeah, I don't know what the one is I have at home. It just says power steering fluid. That's it. Generic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of look at them and go, all right, this looks close to what I got in there. All right, let me just use that.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody has a good Ram pickup truck that's got a good rear section, my good friend TJ is. He said he was driving his truck. He had this crazy noise, and the rear end and drive shaft just blew up and blew out of his truck. So,
wow.
I don't know what the problem was, but he's looking for a rear end and drive shaft for a Ram pickup, a 1500.
Here on Swap and Shop.
Yeah. So somebody's got it somewhere. I don't know. Maybe the UD guys have something laying around. We'll have to find out. But so we're getting to the end of the time here, Chris. Kim's getting ready to play Come with Thunder Road and play Buster Springsteen and the people who play with the band. We're going to go do some stuff and figure out what we're going to do here next week after our trip to Fan Haze. I don't know. We'll figure that out. So,
right.
I don't know. That went quick. That did go quick. But
it did. Good show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
So all I can say is don't buy Chinese carburetor kits. Pay the money for the good stuff. And when I hand these carburetors off, my message is going to be, hey, if they don't work, yeah, we can do it again. It's just going to cost more money.
Right. And I want to find out next week how you know a Chinese carburetor kit from a regular real carburetor kit. That's what I want to know.
All right. So what do we always say that John always says, that you always say, that everybody always says?
Don't follow us home, especially with the Chinese carburetor kit.
Right. And with that, we'll be back next week. More Motor Mouth Radio. Greg Guarino, Chris Switzer signing off. We'll see you then, Chris.
See you, bye.
Bye. On 90.3 WHBC. Out.